You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Lately, our government, civil society organizations, and UN bodies have all condemned the range of human rights abuses Israel is currently committing against the Palestinian population. However, universities in New Zealand, like in many other parts of the world, have made an intentional decision to remain neutral in their position on Gaza, despite public sentiment shifting on this issue. This stance of international neutrality can be traced back to a 1967 study known as the Calvin Report. But was this report ever relevant, and should it still apply today? To discuss this, as well as what universities could potentially do to act against Israel, I spoke to Dr. Ritesh Shah, a senior lecturer of comparative and international education and the co-director of the Center for Asia-Pacific Refugee Study at the University of Auckland.
Can you explain why New Zealand universities have taken this stance in the first place?
Yes. It goes back actually quite some time, and it's connected to a report that came out of the United States in 1967 called the Calvin Report. And this report was written at a time when universities in the U.S. were kind of enmeshed and embroiled in a number of kind of social movements related to the Vietnam War, to the move to end segregated universities and so on. And there was a question raised around, should universities in these moments take a position? And the report that was commissioned and completed at the University of Chicago came back with the answer that no, universities shouldn't maintain a position on anything of kind of social dispute, because that would undermine academic freedom and limit what academics and students might or might not feel safe to say on campus. So effectively, that was the argument that was put forth. Now, in that time since, universities have kind of selectively used and drawn on this concept of institutional neutrality when it suits them. So in times where the issues are contentious or it presents a particular risk to the reputation of a university, they will invoke this doctrine of institutional neutrality.
Do you think that the Calvin Report from 1967 is still relevant today?
I don't know if it was ever relevant, to be honest. I think that this concept of institutional neutrality is inherently problematic as a concept, because staying silent is never neutral. Silence actually says something. And so when we don't say something, it actually means that we are aligning with kind of dominant interest agendas, power groups. And so my sense is that neutrality has always been really around protecting the brand of an institution, potentially allowing university leadership to not have to make some tough decisions. It basically shields universities from being out on the front line of some of the kind of contentious issues that are out there in society. And in fact, I think the role of universities, and particularly here in Aotearoa, should be to be at the forefront of some of those discussions.
Why do universities feel free to take positions on issues like climate change, but not a global conflict such as Gaza?
Well, universities will say that the reason they have taken a stance on issues like climate change or, say, attacks against Te Tiriti or Waitangi is because these are obligations they have under government legislation. But I don't know if that's actually the truth. And I think that it has been used selectively both in Aotearoa and overseas to kind of respond to things where the university feels that they need to show that they are following the kind of general sentiment of the public, where they recognize that they might be left out in the cold if they don't respond. And actually, even with climate change, what was interesting about that was it took years and years of students and staff agitating universities around divestment from fossil fuels before universities took action. So it wasn't like universities were at the forefront of these decisions. They were oftentimes responding to pressures that were coming from the university community itself.
You've drawn a parallel between the Gaza crisis and the apartheid in South Africa in the 1980s, where universities eventually denounced apartheid. Why do you compare these two situations?
Well, it actually comes back to the point I was just raising, which is that if we look back to the early 1980s or even before, say as early as the late 60s, there were movements on university campuses to push universities to cut ties with South African universities, to divest from South African companies, to engage in boycotts around cultural and sporting events, conferences, and so on. Those movements continued to push universities for quite some time. And then, of course, we saw, for example, with the Springbok tour in 1981, that there was a widespread kind of public uproar and social movement around that. It wasn't really actually till the mid-1980s where universities started to change their position on things. And so this was after almost 20 years of agitation and movement from the university community and the wider public, where the mood had kind of slowly evolved and shifted. And I think this is why I would compare this to Gaza right now, because we're now almost 2 years into this horrific conflict. And we are seeing that public sentiment is shifting on it. We're seeing increasing groundswells of protest that are arising. And I think that we are not going to expect in this moment universities to be the leaders on these issues. But I think there is a real importance in pressure being kept up and pressure being kept up to kind of have universities realize that there is a groundswell within the community where they need to respond. And in fact, there is a real crisis of universities in some ways at the moment, where there is this argument that universities have lost their social life, which is really that the relevance and importance of universities to society. And one way that they have lost this license is because they are seen as these esoteric, isolated institutions that are divorced from the mood of the public and the sentiment of the public. And so there is some pressure also that's going to come from the wider public on universities to kind of take a stronger stance on things.
With that being said, what action can universities in New Zealand take against a conflict such as Gaza?
I think there are two immediate things that universities can and should be doing. And in fact, there are instances where universities have already done so. One is related to, and this is really connected to the educational mission of universities, against the backdrop of what is now called scholasticide, which is the wholesale dissemination of the higher education in Gaza. There is a need to support students and scholars who basically have no capacities to continue with their study or their research in Gaza itself. And that means through supporting international scholar rescue funds, putting in place scholarships for students from Gaza to come to New Zealand and take up study, but also potentially other areas affected by conflict, but also supporting academics from Gaza in terms of providing the online infrastructure, helping with examinations, helping with online teaching of courses. There are many things that we could be doing as universities in that regard. And then the second thing, I think, is around divestment. And recently, there was a report produced by the UN, which outlines that there are a number of companies, particularly multinational companies, that are complicit in the genocide that continues to unfold. And that report specifically calls out and names universities as having a key role in addressing some of their own responsibilities to supporting these companies, and calls for active divestment from these companies. And so, you know, University of Auckland, for instance, has an endowment of $470 million, and they have a responsibility, I think, in this moment, to be thinking about divesting from the companies that are named in this report. And that's something now that myself and other students, academics, and alumni are going to be pushing at least the University of Auckland to engage in. And there is a petition that those who are interested can sign if they're supportive of this call. And we have seen, just to conclude, that we have seen some universities take this on. So for instance, Otago and Canterbury, within their academic councils, have both agreed to motions to support students who are affected by conflict and set up specific scholarships for them. And Torrey University of Wellington was the first and only university to actively divest their financial interest from Israeli government bonds. So they're small steps, but it's just to show that there is a point to pressure from below.
And that was Dr. Ritesh Shah from the University of Auckland on what universities should do to act against issues such as the Gaza conflict. If you would like to sign the open letter that Dr. Ritesh Shah discussed, you can find the details on the 95BFM website attached to the podcast version of this interview.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.